Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. It is Super Bowl 20 memories all over the place. I'm about to give you a little bit of a recap. You've been listening to the station this week or checked into anything we're doing. We've had a lot of the Super Bowl 35 guys on, and if you care to hear their stories, and I know I do, and I did, and I've written Purple Rain, I'm going to release some parts of that, and we've released the parade video from Mike Flynn. But the stories that I heard this week that were first-time stories for me, stories that I never heard 20 years ago that did not make the book, make sure you're tuning in. Dennis Colatzos and I got together, and we talked about such things literally right around the time Ray Charles, 20 years earlier, was singing, "Oh, beautiful, fall spacious sky." So that was January 28, 2001. This was January 28, 2021. Still sounds weird to say that. But there's only one first time, Dan. You know that, right? There's only one first time, and that one was so surreal as I look back at the pictures and the colors and the people in my life and where we were. It was very, very surreal. That's the word I used then. That's the word I'll use now.
It's still very much surreal, and I remember Coach Billick racing down the sideline alongside of Jermaine Lewis as he was willing him to go the distance, and he was almost like pulling his hair. What a wonderful Super Bowl that was, Esther. Just a complete blowout, dominant performance over the New York Giants.
Well, I've had great conversations about all sorts of things, right? Like, I don't know if you've seen the parade video, Dennis, but, you know, Mike Flynn misplaced the parade videotape for 19 years, and I got it back last summer. And I put a little piece of it up, but I put the whole thing up two nights ago. It's 59 minutes long. And by the way, when I put it up on YouTube, you ready for this? Just to tell you about the new world, right? When you put something up on YouTube, if it has music or something that's copyrighted, you get a claim put on it. And I shot that video on a wet day on a little handheld camera that David Modell gave to Mike Flynn. I put the video up, and the first night, it got flagged with a copyright claim. And I'm like, kidding. I shot that video. I looked at that video. There's nothing litigious in the, is it because I used the word Super Bowl? Is there something about the trophy? Is there, you know, I don't know. Turns out Mike Flynn throughout the video kept looking at fans and yelling, "Who let the dogs out? Who?
Oh, I gotcha.
So then when we got down to the stage, it kept playing over and over and over and over and over again.
Gotcha.
So I guess the last 20 minutes of it is the Baja Men. So Chris Redman told me a great story. First off, Stokely in the segment shows me the football he caught, right? So I had gone up to Stokely, and this is well-worn. We've told this story for 20 years, but I was at the media breakfast on Thursday morning, I believe it was, or maybe Friday. Not media day, not the one at the stadium. I did not attend that. I was doing live radio that afternoon. I went to the Giants media day, but had to leave to go do my national show, to do Nasty Nationwide. So on Thursday morning, the hotel, the Hyatt West Shore, you would take buses over and go into the lobby. And it was like a wedding. You know, every player had a circle table, and you could sit at the circle table and talk to any player you wished. And the stars did, you know, Ray Lewis did podium and Shannon Sharp, whatever. That's where Billick said, "We're not retrying this again," you know, all that stuff, right? So I went to Stokely, and I said, "Dude, you're going to catch one. You're going to catch a touchdown in this game." And remember, Stokely was a rookie. He missed the first 8 weeks. He was a healthy scratch. He couldn't make the field. And then Travis Taylor got hurt. And that's what got him on the field. So Stokely, I'm there talking to him, and it's the first time we've ever done a Zoom. And he's in his house, and he lives next door to Peyton Manning. And he calls his house the house that Peyton built. And they're neighbors. So he's in there doing his thing, and I'm always kidding him about his house and whatever. And I said, "Where's that football, man? Where's that football?" And he just turned his camera. He's like, "The football's right here." So the football awesome. He caught is literally 5 feet from his desk. He had pictures of his dad, his grandfather, his sister that I'm in, that he's in my pictures from the party afterward. So we shared pictures, but Redman told the best story. Redman said that he was warming up on the sidelines to get in. Because I was giving him a hard time. "Hey, dude, you had the easy job. You didn't have to come in the game." He's like, no. Trent got hurt. And I remember this. He's like, "Mike Flynn was on the sidelines snapping to me. And I remember the videotape from all the bus rides we've had where I've watched it so many times." And sure enough, Chris Redman was supposed to come in the game at the end to take a knee. And you know, so I was asking about his role because we're old mates and had a good time. So we've had, I think you can tell, I'm kind of giddy, had wonderful conversations. Marvin Lewis spent 30 minutes with me, Coach Billick, Edwin Mulitalo. Jack Del Rio couldn't get his Zoom audio working, so he's going to come next week. Mike Smith was here. Goose did a half an hour with me. Goose is flying private planes now, chartering planes. So just wonderful. It was a wonderful week to chase down friends, and it's even more wonderful today talking about it with people like you and finding so many of my friends on Facebook who were there, a part of the team. Jeff Friday, the old strength and conditioning coach, you know, he's my Facebook friend. He put his pictures up. You know, it's neat. It's really, really neat, Dan.
It was very neat. Great experience for this town, too. After what we've been through, we try to get a team, first of all, and with the team moving and the new name and the colors and everything else. And, you know, experiencing so much success early on, right? I mean, the team got it here in 96, and then 4 years later, we're hosting the Lombardi, right, having parades downtown.
Well, you know, if we were to talk about the country or the world or your business, all of this comes down to leadership and decisions, right? And leadership and decisions, and the more I've thought about this and gone back. I mean, look, I wrote a book on this, right? When it happened, I evaluated it all. I mean, I talked to Ozzy. I talked to Marvin. I went out eating ribs one night with Phil Savage and telling stories about how Jamal Lewis got drafted. All that stuff's in Purple Rain 1, which is up at Baltimore Positive, by the way. I may take the 20 chapters of Purple Rain 1 and just put them out one a day every day for the next month. Let people read my thoughts then. I mean, it was a book I wrote when I was 30 years old, you know? So I go back to that and think about how surreal it was, the adversity that all the players had overcome. You know, how this island of misfit players wound up here. I mean, we talk about Brady and Gronkowski and Ndamukong Suh all winding up in this Tampa Bay thing. Think about Michael McCrary, Tony Siragusa, Rod Woodson, you know, Sam Adams. There were a lot of guys here that were imported and, quite frankly, handpicked. Handpicked by Marvin, handpicked by Ozzy, you know, handpicked by Phil Savage. Eric DaCosta was an early part of all of that, and all the scouts. But how John Ogden winds up a Raven back on April 19th, 1996, and I have this hat over here, instead of Lawrence Phillips, right? And how Ray Lewis was passed on by 25 teams and found himself in this circumstance, with this set of coaches, with this set of players, how Art was broke, completely broke, right? That's why the team was sold. That Steve Bisciotti's money, the money that Steve Bisciotti, new money, fresh money, that Steve Bisciotti brought to the team, allowed them to sign Shannon Sharpe and Rob Woodson and those players. And, you know, it was just such an incredible story. And I wrote a book about it. I can go read it anytime. I'm glad I wrote it because the whole thing's there, stuff I've probably forgotten since then. But then you go back and talk to these players now, and they remember stuff that stories I didn't even know about 20 years later.
No, there's a lot of storylines there. And, of course, Brandon Stokely, hopefully he got Jason Sehorn to autograph the football for him, since he's the gentleman that was trying to cover him on that nice 45-yard touchdown pass he got from Trent Dilfer.
So, you know, I know Jason Sehorn a little bit, right? Because I was on in New York, and I got to know him a little bit. He was married to Angie Harmon. I have many, many pictures of Jason Sehorn before the Super Bowl. That, you know, like, he sat in with me on Radio Row. He sat in on my national show. So I knew him a little bit. You want the wildest story about how this thing keeps coming back to me, Den? Christmas, I found that picture that I've shown you of Modell, David carrying the trophy with Coach.
Yep.
You know, I've shown you that. That happened to me. The Larry King thing, which I know you saw that. Larry King wrote about Purple Rain. That Larry died last week. All of these really strange things, you know, have sort of come back. Like, Tony Siragusa told me a story that he had, I don't know that he's told. He said that he was so nervous the morning of the game that he got a limo ride over to the stadium, got a driver. He was over there 6 hours ahead of time. He said he was the first guy in the locker room. And he said he saw all the Super Bowl programs on everybody's seat. And he opened his program, and he was sitting there reading the program, and he saw the pictures of all the rings. And he went into the training room, and he got scissors from Bill Tessendorf. And he said he went to every seat, went to that page, cut it out, and taped it into their locker. He said, so when the buses came, everybody saw the picture of the rings in the locker.
Wow.
So, no, I've never heard that story. I've never told that story. But Goose told that story on Baltimore Positive this week. So, you know, these stories that even I don't remember, or how things happen or how guys get drafted. I'll tell you one thing, Dan. I don't know if you ever read Purple Rain 1, but there's something in there for you, okay? This is a very, very high leadership document that David Modell handed to me up on the 28th floor to Signet Tower. He handed it to me the day I picked my tickets up to fly to Minnesota. And I flew to Minnesota to see Brian Billick because he told me then he was hiring Billick. I said to him, should I fly to Denver? And I never saw a game in Mile High Stadium, Dan. Because I was either going to go see the Jets, because Vinny Testaverde played against Elway that day, or I was going to fly to Minneapolis to see Atlanta and Minnesota. And David, with a cigar in his mouth, said, you're going to Minnesota. And he shut the door, and he had like a llama skin rug throw. Some people have Asian rugs. David had like this rug. And we sat in his office, and he handed me two sheets of paper. And they were the qualifications of the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. David had written literally a job description and handed it to me, and I read it. I didn't take it. But once they won the Super Bowl a year and a half later, I went back down and he handed it to me. And I put it in the book. So it's in the book. So, you know, just stories and crazy things that happen and people showing up on timeline. But you mentioned Jason Sehorn. Jason Sehorn's picture showed up on my timeline on Facebook, okay, of a woman I met who was the first woman who ever told me about Twitter. It was about 10 or 11 years ago. She's a social media manager. I met her at an event in New York. She works with Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame coach. And her daughter was on her Facebook with Jason Sehorn with his last name. Dennis, this happened 3 days ago. And I Googled it, and I'm like, is Jason Sehorn not married to Angie Harmon anymore? And as it turns out, Jason Sehorn is now married to a woman I know's daughter. So Jason Sehorn showed up in my life 4 days ago. So I at some point, everybody from Super Bowl 35 is going to show up in the next 30 days. I'm convinced of it, including David Modell in my dreams.
You know, God rest his soul. I know you were close with David, and love all these stories as they keep coming out. And that was a very, very special team, and it's good to hear the guys talk about, you know, each other this season, culminating into the game that was just amazing, and you know, backed by, of course, a historic defense, right? An all-time great defense.
Well, if anybody wants to watch the parade, I have it in living color, courtesy of Mike Flynn and David Modell. If anybody wants to hear any of these great stories, and I'm getting more of them. I mean, some guys are getting back to me. Rod Woodson got back to me, and we didn't make it together. We'll do it next week. You know, next week, Jack Del Rio's coming on. So some of these folks, I didn't get, Jermaine Lewis hit me back. So some of the guys next week, we'll find them. I can't find J.O. I'll find him before next week. Jamal and I are texting back and forth. So a lot of the guys, I've just decided that we'll move it to next week. And then next week's weird, man. 27 straight years of going to the Super Bowl, being blessed. I mean, you always talk about how fortunate you are at the Coons, and we talk about good fortune and gratitude and all these incredible emotions we could have. You know, I'm a little disappointed, but boy, is it a week to take stock of what a life I've led, huh? 27 Super Bowls, and next week I won't be there, and it's fine. We'll have some great guests on, but it's not the same. And Luke and I are going to get together and talk some nerd football next week, and talk some pro football outsiders, and do the stuff that we usually do Super Bowl week. It's a week I take great, great pride in kicking the FM competitors' derriere.
Well, look, just very grateful that we do have a Super Bowl this year, and what a compelling matchup, right? The GOAT versus the kid should be a lot of fun.
I will talk to you a few times next week as well, and we'll preview that. But for now, who let the dogs out?
That's right. That's, you're going to get another copyright violation. Keep it up.
What time is it? What time is it?
That's right. It's game time.
Any dogs here in the house?
Woof, 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 woof. Mr. J. Aparicio live here on 1570 AM. WNSC will take a quick break. Come back right after these messages.